a few things I wanted to do. We'd have a quick time of prayer. I want to pray for Brooke, and I know Anna is a little bit further away, but I want to pray for both of them. Just anytime, surprise, so you never know. So I want to pray for protection and for a smooth birth and just that transition to a new season of life and all the stuff that comes with that. So if you just raise your hand, I know Anna, I think, left the room, but you can go ahead and raise your hand towards Isaac. He'll be the stand-in there, and he is impacted by this, so we will pray for him too. So if you just raise your hands toward them, and then after that, we are going to pray for Roger and Sharon. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for new life. I thank you for your gift of children and the lessons they teach us, Father. We thank you. We're so grateful, Father, for Brooke and Corey and for their little ones, Father. We thank you for Anna and Isaac and their little one. Father, the gift they are to this church, Father, that the new life they brought in, Father, for the impact that these children and the investment of their parents, what they bring to our culture, what they bring to our church, what they bring to your kingdom. Father, it's more than we will ever know in this life. And Father, we pray over Brooke and Anna, Father, as they are nearing the time of birth, Father. We pray that you would put your hand of protection on them. You protect their baby, Lord. We protect, you pray, their little lives, that you would give them health and strength. I pray that there would be no fear or anxiety on either moms as they prepare for this. We pray over them, Lord, in advance for the birth, Lord, that you would bring protection, Father, peace in their bodies, Lord, that it would be smooth, Lord, and as painless as can be. And we even pray for the aftermath, Lord, that you would just be near these couples, that you would prepare their hearts, prepare their minds, prepare their spirits, that you would minister to them, Father, you would bless them abundantly, bring them the help, bring them the joy, bring them the peace that they need, and the wisdom, Father, into continuing raising their little ones, and Father, preparing for a new little infant. Father, we bless them in your name. And Father, we pray for our brother and sister, Lord Roger and Sharon and their family. Father, there are no words. There is nothing that I know to say except for your help, for your peace, Father, for the things that you are, Father, for these words, Father, that for the world have so little meaning, but Lord, in you mean everything. Father, I can't imagine. And Father, we don't know what to do or how to help. We just ask for your grace during this time. As they grieve, O Lord, and as they have questions, as it's confusing, Father, and it's hard, we just pray that you'd overwhelm them with your spirit, overwhelm them with your presence, Lord, that you be their peace in a chaotic time. Be with the family, that you be their rock in this season. And going forward, Father, in the days ahead, in the next few weeks, be near them. We pray over them, Father, in love. Let us be a blessing to them. Let us be a peace to them. Let us know how to help and how to be there for them in ways we don't see. We ask these things, Lord, and we know that you are already at work within them. In your name, amen. I asked Olive if she would come up and share a little bit briefly about her experience in California. I want to give her an opportunity to see what the Lord has done and just what he did to bless you or and bless the people there and just encourage us by what he's doing in and through your life. So if you just give us a few thoughts.
Notebooks of just the love of God and that was the practical things that I did. But just really, I was able to just meet with girls that, you know, mainly 13 years older or younger, and just really connect with them and, you know, be a good friend to them, because there's not a lot of people who are willing to be friends with them, because they are, most of them are usually Muslim, and so not a lot of, you know, friendly people will come up to them and have a smiling face on them, be like, hey, how are you doing? So to be that to them as they came in to get their backpacks or the kids camp, it was really a beautiful thing to see their face light up and be like, whoa, like someone's paying attention to me, someone actually likes me now. And so I think that was a beautiful thing for me to see, kind of eye-opening and a little bit of perspective change. I'm like, wow, like I focus on myself way too much, and now I need to focus on men. I just need to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and not necessarily wait and wait to be invited, but just go, because I wasn't really invited in the first place, so why sit around then? And so I think that was a really cool thing, and just something that the Lord taught me so much. But yeah, I'm trying to think. But yeah, just a lot of, honestly, the main thing I did, I spent a lot of time with mainly these three girls. They were 13, 9, and a 2-year-old. And it was such a blessing to be with them and get really connected with them, you know, still talking to them on, you know, message app and everything. And just to be feeding into their lives, because there's a lot of brokenness. They just got here about a year ago. They're from a Middle Eastern country, so there's a lot of brokenness that they have come from, a lot of destruction, and just a lot of evil things that they have seen, and they're just so hurt. And they're like, oh, like finding some hope and some freedom from what they've been through is a big thing to them, and for me to be able to minister to them in that moment of when they're like, oh, I'm hurting, or I'm looking for someone else to like see me when I'm overlooked so many times, it was such a beautiful thing for me to be there and still ministering to them even here, because for women in their culture, they're overlooked, they really don't get any schooling or anything. You know, everything's decided for them. And so coming to America, that's a whole new thing for them to go to school. So for me to just be there and encourage them and, like, you know, show the love of God and show that they are created with a purpose was a beautiful thing for me to minister to and for them to receive that. And while I was there, I did kind of team up with another person from UV Global that is actually also going overseas here in the next month, a few weeks, I'm sure. But, so that was a beautiful time to just get to know them really well and just connect with them on so many things and experience the same things they were experiencing and just be able to share together. It was very comforting to have another, you know, Caucasian person with me. No Westerner. I was like, all right, I'm not the only one that's like, this is really weird. Like, what are we doing? But I would say overall, that was like the experience that I had. And it goes a lot deeper than that, but we don't have time for that. But really, that was just such a beautiful part. So like the main thing that the Lord just taught me was to change my perspective on just how beautiful are the feet of those who go. It's not how beautiful are the mouth, how beautiful are the way they walk or the way they talk, or, you know, how well they're invited into or how good their personality is. But it's just how beautiful are the feet of those who go. And so that has just been something that's been constantly playing through my mind. I want to be a tunnel that the name of Jesus echo through. Not necessarily anything really specific, but just that I go where Jesus is calling me to go. And so I guess that's really all I have to share for now. But thank you.
Thank you, Olive. I think you'll find that what God did in and through you probably won't all be seen right now, but it will be worked out in your heart, in your mind, and in their lives throughout the coming years. So thank you. The message that I had, this happens quite a lot, but this was somewhat unique, but I had a message that I do believe the Lord wants to share through me at some point, and I planned for today to be the day, and leading up to it last week, it was very clear that it wasn't time yet. And I don't know if it's because this message has to happen first or if it's just not the week for it. So I did last night, part of it I think was being tired from the camp out. But while we were out there, I think as we were, me and Jenna, we didn't stay the whole weekend, obviously, so we just stayed one night. But last night I was gearing my heart and spirit towards this morning because I had to get it off camping mode and into this mode. The amount of attack in my spirit and head was so strong, and I was just like, maybe I'm just tired, but I really felt like I had to question everything about it. And any time that this has ever happened, it's because something that God wants to say is he wants me to back off, or not him, but the enemy wants me to back off. And so I am going to, in faith, preach this and believe that what he put in my heart is that whether it be one individual or multiple individuals needed this for today. And I don't have any names, and I don't need any names, and I'm going to, in faith. And if this doesn't apply to you, then I do hope that you're blessed and that you're encouraged. But for those of you who this does, the Lord sees you. And as I talked to Jenna this week, sometimes it is returning to basics, which needs to happen a lot because I've been a believer most of my life, at least to the point of understanding when I was younger. And yet I find myself routinely going back to the things that I should have learned by now. I want to talk about two points this morning. These are some of the worst notes I've ever taken. I'm going to keep blaming camping on that. Blame Aaron and Bree for that. No. And Jenna got me this new Bible for my birthday, and it's not broken into yet, so it's constantly moving. I'm going to give more excuses for this. So at Christmas time, you will remember, and you might remember the final Advent Sunday that we had, but I want to actually kind of just relay a brief thing about that. As if you attended here every week leading up to Christmas, at least in December, you will find that we have this thing called Advent, and this season of anticipation and excitement as we look forward to Christmas, as we anticipate not the coming of Christ, but the second coming of Christ, but also just that excitement of longing and the reflection. It's really a time of reflection on what he's done and who he is for us. And every week we're given a word, and it's the candle of love, the candle of joy, the candle of peace, and we work our way up until Christmas Sunday. And one of the things I mentioned that I think of every year on that final Sunday is this, and me and Scott, it's probably our own personal joke because he thinks it's funny that I'm a Hobby Lobby enthusiast. But I wanted to mention that if you take all those candles, and maybe even in some of your households, and so I want to be straight up clear that if you have a plaque like this, I'm not making fun of you, but I want to be honest. If you go to Hobby Lobby, what are you going to see there? You're going to see signs that say hope, peace, love. In this hope, there's love. Love is the way, all this stuff. And you'll see these cute little colors and all these kind of things. And so and you can have it in any arrangement. You can put whatever words in there. Hobby Lobby does it for you. But I think of that, and I really do wish that I could pull culture, and I could sit down with 50 people, doesn't matter the race, doesn't matter their background, and just say, what do these words mean to you? And I think that you would find that those words to them mean something very different than what they were intended. I'm not going to blame Hobby Lobby because it's a great store. I am going to blame culture for taking words that Christ himself has spoken into life, and they've watered them down to the point that when we hear them, they have very little meaning. When we talk about peace, it is an absence of fighting. It's an absence of war. When we talk about joy, it is a state of happiness. I feel good. When we talk about love, it's, everyone knows today, when you use the word love, that can mean a lot of different things to you, and there's not a lot of depth to it. It's a feeling, an emotion, and anyone can love anything and anyone. And we really don't understand. But the beauty of these words is that we didn't write them. The beauty of these words is that you and I do not get to define them. Christ and Christ alone defines what these words mean, and Scripture is stocked full of them. Time and time again, he relays what these are and what they mean. And there is two words today that I want to share and encourage, is that peace and joy need to reign abundant within our lives. And I want to explain why and what that looks like. John 10:10 talks about how the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what does Jesus say? He says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I think the sermon actually, it really touches me because I have faced seasons where these words, I could come to you guys every Sunday and hear these words, and I would understand them. I would even sing about them, and I would go home, and these words were not true to me. And I can tell you that even recently, there was a season for me personally that the idea of peace and joy was a nice Sunday sermon, and it meant nothing to me during the week. And God has worked in and through me, and it's I can say that that is not the season I'm in now, but it was very recently that those words were a painful reminder of what I was lacking, and for many different reasons. That he came so that you could have life and life more abundantly. I found myself going over this verse during worship, and I was almost getting angry because I hate to see when the body of Christ is living a life without an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace. We were not created to simply exist, to get married, to retire, then die. There's a lot more to it. Those are things God's gifted us as far as family and living and life and eating and good things. But we were created for a life more abundantly. And that is a depth, a spiritual thing. And it affects every aspect of the physical and the natural of our lives. One of the things I wrote down, I'm going to share it now, I was going to say it at the end, but wisdom and humility is acknowledging where you're at, not where you want to be. And it's very humbling for me. It was humbling in the moment when I realized that my life, at least in that season, had no joy in it, and it really was not at peace. Because I'm a pastor. I'm the head of the home. I've been a believer for about 25 years. I should know better. And it was so humbling to be like, God, no, this isn't where I'm supposed to be, so I'm not going to address it. And yet I realized that the moment of humility and wisdom was to acknowledge, yes, it's not where I want to be, but this is where I am. And I need to take, Lord, I can't take care of it myself. And I remember it was actually disrupting me and Jenna's life. And I would come home and I would see it impacted her. I think that Declan was restless. I think that he sensed and experienced the spirit of the home was not a peaceful one because of what I was feeling. And I felt so much guilt and shame because I knew that it was impacting Jenna. And I only share that to be honest with you guys because how can we go forward together if we can't be honest about what we face? And these words were painful to me to be reminded that I was not walking in them. But when I stopped to acknowledge it, God began to do the work within me and lead me in the direction of there were areas in my life that I could pinpoint, I am not at peace here, and I am not at peace here, and I am not at peace here. And to shroud it all, I've got a beautiful son, a beautiful wife, a wonderful farm, and I have no joy in it. That's painful. And it hurt. I have come to give you life and life more abundant. I want to read in Psalm 16, and I have a few verses. I generally don't like to popcorn around and give you one verse and one verse here. I like to read a lot more in one place, but I did have a few verses that the Lord just put in my heart. So I want to just share them with you. You can write them down, look them up later, but I'm going to start with Psalm 16 as my primary. This is a hard Bible to shuffle through. Psalm 16. We're just going to read this chapter. It's short. It says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have delighted a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful seed decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Another version says, "In his presence there is fullness of joy." What is he saying here in the most simplest terms? He says, in the world there are those who go after other gods. I will not, because I have found the one in whom my heart is safe and secure. And he even mentions, I actually love this verse because it actually sounds so much like a believer. This is David, who did not fully have the Holy Spirit. He knew God. He did not know Jesus yet. And yet he, in a very real way, is a prophesying of what the body of Christ would look like when it came to their relationship with the Lord. And then he mentions the righteous ones. And I actually want to bring that later. I think that was kind of fitting because he's talking about those who are following after God within his kingdom. He is saying that they are my delight. And there's a correlation to that in the church that I'm going to get to towards the end. He finished this up by saying, in his presence there's fullness of joy. It's interesting because, as I said, me and Jenna don't normally talk about what I'm going to preach because I'm like, I don't want to sway what the Spirit will lead you. And it may not seem to connect, but I want the Lord to do what he wants because I don't want you to plan based off me. And she knew just a little bit about what I was speaking, but she did talk about a part that I never told her. And I said, what I love about David is that if you read through the Psalms, the ones that he wrote, you will find like that, right? Up, down, all around. And you're like, who is this man? He's full of emotions. I mean, he's all over the place. One moment he's like, Lord, my enemies are against me. They're surrounding the city. They're surrounding my heart. And he says, one moment, I just wish I was like a dove. If I could be like a dove in this moment, I would fly out of this situation and I would just disappear. I would get out of here. The enemies are against me. My family is against me. My heart is broken and in chaos. And the next thing, it's like, I will sing of your praises. My song of delight. You are this. Creation speaks of your name. I mean, it goes back and forth, back and forth. But what Jenna said, what I was going to mention, is that one thing is true. No matter the things that he's facing, no matter the heights, no matter the lows, no matter where he is at, he always ends at the same place. In almost the end of every song, every writing that he gives, it is, but in you I will lift my voice. In you I find my security. In you I find my joy. Because David is what I often have to mention to me and Jenna, is we're just but human. And that David was not better than us, nor different than us in that way. He felt what you and I feel. And he went through the same kind of emotions, many of the same losses, and he declared them. He was open to God, and he said, this is my heart. This is what I'm feeling. This is the brokenness. This is the pain. This is my circumstances. But he ended in the promises of who God is. You know what I was realizing when I looked at those two words? I was not ending how I felt in the promises of God, but in what was lacking in me and what was missing and what was grieving me. That was the end result. And I would lay my head on the pillow at night with a worry in my heart and my head. It was not in the declaration of his truth and promises. And when I began to do that, it began to change my heart. And I realized that the exact things that were bothering me, that were stealing, the enemy came to steal. One thing about the enemy is he's very sneaky. If he can't destroy you, if he can't kill you, then he's going to steal from you. The enemy wants you to be complacent. The enemy wants to rob from you any capacity and connection with the Father. And he also wants to rob any ability for you to be impactful for the kingdom. And if he can render you defenseless and just simply existing, he's done a good job and done a work in you. And he will steal your joy and steal your peace so that you are not living a life of abundance. I'm going to read a few more passages. I'm going to go to John 15 real quick. John 15, we're going to do 9 through 11. I certainly hope I wrote the right one down. Don't think I wrote the right one down. Okay, let's go to 1 John 4. It'll come to me. 1 John 4. We're going to read 13 through 18. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God that God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence at the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I want to read Isaiah 26:3. Actually, Nick, can I have you read that real quick? I have to break this in more. 26:3. Yep.
Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Yeah.
There we go. I've got the one that I was missing. It's John 15. I don't think I was even the right book. I did have the right one. I was in the wrong book. That's what was wrong. John 15, 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so that I have loved you, now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy is complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. I want to stop there. Again, these are a little scattered. They are the verses that came to mind, and I want you to just write them down and take them on their own. And if you want to look at them this week, pray about them. These are not simple words that we put up on a plaque. They are words that change your life and change the way that you respond to life's events and life's challenges. I told Jenna this week, I said, sometimes I think because God is omnipresent, that means I don't have to work in our relationship. He's always with me, so why do I need to acknowledge him? And that sounds kind of goofy saying that to you, but it's sometimes the way I think. Is he's always with me, he's going with me, we're doing life together, he knows what I'm going through, so I don't need to acknowledge that. And the quote that hit me this week that just the Lord spoke to me, and I want to share with you, is this: if you are the one who today you feel, and if you are honest with yourself and you feel that your peace and your joy has been robbed from you and that you have walked day in, day out, and when you hear these words, there is a dread within you because you know, in all honesty, that's not what you're feeling. I want to encourage you with this, is that the reason you feel that way is most likely not because God is absent from you. It's because you're absent from Him. There is never a time in your life, there is never a time in your heart and in your emotions and in your grief and in your failings and in your daily life that God is absent. There is never a time, no matter how stubborn you are, no matter how prideful you are, no matter how big of a failure you feel, there is not a moment that God has been absent from you. It's we are absent from Him. And that might just simply be your heart. It might be because there is something in your life you don't want to let go of. Might be one of those high places we talked about last year that we don't want to destroy. For me, in many ways, it was all these circumstances. For some of it was financial. Some of it was just my ability to do this fathering type thing. There were moments that I was trying to figure it out myself, and I didn't want to acknowledge that I couldn't do it alone. And I wanted to hold on to that burden that I had been carrying for some reason. And I realized that it was something that God had not been absent from me. But yet, when I was honest, oftentimes when I would sing, when I would pray, when I would hear a sermon here, I felt that He was far from me. And I realized a lot of it was I wasn't acknowledging that I was far from Him. And I had put up walls, not of my knowing. And as he began to reveal them in the areas, and he began to target those areas, when I drew close to him and I said, Lord, I'm acknowledging this is where I'm at. And it's humbling and it hurts. But he began to target those areas. And you know what's crazy is that the circumstances that bothered me are still there. Not a lot has changed about the dynamics of what bothered me. But the peace in our home, as I told Jenna, I said, have you noticed that just things feel different here? Have you noticed that, like, when I come home, not notice about me, but, like, there's just an environment here. I'm not as nervous. We're not talking about money as much as we were. We're not talking about this, and I'm not going around with a scowl on my face, going to bed, like, not wanting to talk about it. There is a lightness here, and there's a rest here. Farm lifestyle feels great. We're going to bed. We're having dinner. We're able to sit and chat over a cup of tea, and I'm feeling great. And circumstances look a lot the same, but my heart is completely changed in that. It's very simple. This is not a this five steps towards faith and peace. This is an acknowledgement of where I was at and realizing that God was all ready to tear down the walls. And I promise you guys, there will be days that I have to return to this. It's not all cured. But it is such a freedom. It is such a joy when I realize that I have allowed myself to get, when I have allowed the enemy to speak lies into my life. He's really crafty, because what he'll do is he will make you complacent, he will help you to put those walls up, and then what he'll do is he'll guilt and shame you for doing it, offering no way back to God, and then he will make you resentful towards God for the walls that you put up. He's crafty. And when you actually acknowledge that and you realize it, it's amazing what God pulls down in your life, and that the enemy has no thing securing that. The walls that we've put up, we're holding there. And God's like, it's ready to blow over any second. You just need to push it. And I can't do it alone. Acknowledge it's a spirit that allows me to do it. Wisdom and humility is acknowledging where you're at rather than where you want to be. It's good to know where you want to be, but it helps get that started. The second part, and I just want to kind of close in this area, is the joy of the Lord is fullness in his presence. But I think the other key to for you and me, and I really felt this strongly this week, and I want to share it. A lot of this will be opinion, but what he said in Psalm 16, what David said, he said, the righteous ones, they're my delight. We've been talking a lot about our church family in the last few years, and sometimes I think it's easy to slam our hands on this, say where we need to be, what we need to be doing, and how we need to act with each other. I know that's easy, and maybe this will come off as harsh, but I want to share. I think that the fullness of joy comes in the presence of God, but it's also in the presence of the body of Christ. This weekend, me and Jenna got to spend time with Jimmy and Lindsay and Tracy and Bree and Aaron and their kids, and it's the most we've spent with any of them in all our time ever knowing them. And it's the most that Declan's ever been outdoors at a long period of time, so that was fun. But I got to see different sides of them and really kind of know who they are more than what I see in 2 minutes time here on Sunday morning. And for the majority of my time in this church, the majority of what I know about each one of you comes within 5 minutes of a conversation before you guys and myself bust out those doors and go about my life absent from you. I'm going to give you guys an opinion. This is not gospel. If for you and me, if our confidence, if our hearts, if our advice, if our joy and delight does not come from the body that's in here, if we are not in your inner circle to some extent, and this is not absent of your family and friends outside, believe me, I've got close friends, I've got close family, that does not negate them, but if you do not find any of that in this room, I'm going to tell you my opinion is this, and for myself it's true. If you have to do, you should do one of two things. Number one, you should be proceeding towards having that as a goal, and doing what the Spirit leads you to make that a truth, or you should pack up and find another family. And I, when I thought of that, I said, that sounds harsh, Lord. And the reality is this, then what else are we doing? Do you guys love coming every Sunday morning and having a disconnected relationship with the person across from you? You like 5 minutes of seeing each other, and then same time next week, guys. I'm saying that because me and Jenna have had to do a harsh look at ourselves and say, what are we doing to change that? Because, guys, we are the body of Christ. We are a family. And I have said that so many sermons, and I'm like, Lord, I have not done a lot of good steps in that direction where you guys are truly my brothers and sisters, where I'm willing to share what I just shared here. It's easy to do it here because I've got a platform, but it's a lot different when I step off here and go over to you and say, you know what? I've been struggling with a lot of lack of peace, and the joy is out of my life. I'm probably not going to come to most of you and just do that randomly. I can say it here because I'm feeling led by the Spirit, but generally, there's no opportunity for that. And I'm not blaming you. That was a self-reflection of me and Jenna saying, we want that. And if we're not getting that here, then what are we doing? That may seem counterproductive to the sermon I just preached, but I feel like they go hand in hand. The fullness of joy comes not just in the presence of the Lord, but in the presence of His body. And this weekend, I felt so much joy being with those who have a heart like mine, talking about the Lord, talking about Yellowstone, talking about raising steers and slaughtering pigs and our kids and how chaotic it is chasing them around in their diapers as we just changed them and now they're playing in a puddle and it's kind of cold out. We're all hiding from the rain while the kids are out playing. And that was a fullness of joy. And if we can't get that with one another, what are we doing? But I promise you this, if you are intentional about making that work with me and working with the person across from you, you will find that your joy will increase because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And the Spirit is in us. And it's fine if you're not in the season. In fact, I wish and hope and pray that there's not one person that says, I needed to hear that this morning. Because where I want everyone to be is in the fullness of joy and at peace. But if you're not, then it's a great time to, and to take the step towards it. I would be amiss if I didn't give that opportunity to you. You don't need to confess anything. You don't need to say anything. It's not about that. But it's a moment of reflection, but also around a body who loves you. Guys, I just confessed. It wasn't long ago I was in a season where I was just utterly weighed down and so discouraged. And I feel so much joy now. And I want you to feel it too. So I said, you know, Ben, will you come up here and play just for a little bit? And I want to just give an opportunity. I said, I know it's humbling and I know it's hard. And this isn't about us needing to know where you're at, what you're doing. But it's an opportunity if you can be honest with yourself. And if this message was for you, then I want an opportunity for us to be able to pray with you. This is not about casting judgment. This is about walking through life with one another and acknowledging, I'm not where I want to be. The enemy wants to steal from you. Even as a believer, even as a son and daughter of God, he wants to rob from you that joy and that peace because it renders you incapable of anything else. And you will constantly just look at yourself. And it's not a pretty thing when you're feeling that way. So I just want to give the opportunity, and if not, then great. But if you want us to pray with you, if you're struggling, you're walking through something, you say, you know what, this is where I am, it's not where I want to be, and maybe it doesn't even apply to those two words. If you're bogged down with the weight of something and you want to walk through it with your church, with your family, then I want to give you an opportunity. So just take these next few moments, even if you have to be like, Lord, humble my heart and let me be honest of how I'm experiencing what I'm feeling. And we'll pray with you. And that's how we'll end this morning. You can leave here with that joy. You can leave here with that peace. In these next few moments, if you'd like prayer, we want to ask you guys to come here and we will pray for you. Just take a few moments. Thank you. sermons that we could preach. And you know why there's so many young people come up here? Not because of my sermon. It's because there's a target on their head. Because Satan knows that there are things in store for you and through you that that the Lord has planned for you. And now, in this moment, he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy that before it takes off. There is nothing wrong with humility and being honest about your heart, because it is in that healing and in that freedom that Christ can begin to move now. His Spirit can now work when those walls are torn down, when our eyes are off ourselves, when our eyes are off our problems. That is when the Spirit begins to move in ways that you will shock you. It is because of God's love that you're struggling today, because that is how much Satan seeks to destroy and quench what he has done in and through you. And we need each other. If it's not about this, then what are we doing? You and I need each other. We can't do it alone. And I promise you this, whatever God has for our church, for this community, when this becomes the norm, when you and I are together and we walk with one another, when we raise each other's arms, we will see the things that we've prayed for, the things that our hearts have desired to break loose. It won't look like the church that we've always had, but it'll be the church that the Spirit wants us to have and what he wants us to be. He's so delighted in your humility and your honesty. And I just, every time I pray over you, I just sense his delight in you. He's not angry with you. He's not disappointed in you guys. He's pleased. And his presence is for you. His joy is for you. And his call is clear. And I promise you this, you cannot get in the way of the Lord's plan. He knows how to break it down. And I will promise you this, you'll step foot out these doors and the enemy will immediately seek to destroy and to quench what has been done in your heart, and you cannot let him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is no fear in death. Perfect love casts out fear. And Christ is the center of it all. Every one of those words can be defined in Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the giver of joy. He is the very definition of love. He's got great things for us. We love you guys. And we just pray your blessing on your lives this week. That no matter what you're facing, that you would sense his sweet Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that when the enemy sneaks in, Father, that we would put him under our foot. He has no place in this church, in our families, in our marriages, and in our lives. You are greater. Bless and keep each one here. May your face shine upon them. Give them peace. I think Jenna wants to close this morning with a word.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
God bless you all. Great week.